We started on the Hall of Faith, and I enjoyed it. We talked about Abel, Enoch, and Noah. We got those three covered. Did any of you go back and read some more on their history? Fascinating stories, and oftentimes we read Hebrews 11 and we don't go back and read the actual accounts of those people's lives, but we tried to do that a little bit last week. There's just something that should follow our first faith. Our first faith being, we believe Jesus died on the cross. He's the Son of God, and then he rose again. There's a faith that follows that, and it's called the life of faith. And that's what Hebrews 11 is really all about. Y'all know these verses well if you've been here very long. I'm not going to turn there because they each one say the same thing. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. So we begin our lives after we're saved by beginning the life of faith and by what God reveals to us in his word. We choose it, we take it, and our faith produces it in our lives. Go with me to Hebrews 11. We're not going to go back through Abel, Enoch, and Noah. But while you're getting to Hebrews 11, some of the things that we talked about last week, because you will get a chance to talk if you would like to add something. Ken and Tanya will stay in control of the mic. That way they can take it away from me if you try to take my job. But, you know, make a comment if you've got something. Don't hold back what information you've got, because I learned a lot last week from what different ones of you said. But the importance that we saw in each of those gentlemen's lives of the daily walk, we talked a lot, and a lot of your comments were about that daily relationship, that daily walk with God. And their faith was a witness. We saw that in each one of them. Their work of faith, them expressing their faith, what they did, was a witness to the people around them. We talked about how our faith pleases God. Enoch pleased God. His faith pleased God. And there's an obedience to faith. We saw an obedience in each one of their lives. So we pick up in verse 8 with Abraham. And as you can imagine, I was like, how am I going to close this can of worms I'm about to open? Because Abraham is known as the father of our faith. So we're going to be limited in how long we talk about Abraham. He's a whole study within himself, right? It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. There's that word again in the life of faith. He obeyed. He went out, not knowing whether he went. So this was, God was wanting to take Abram, at the time his name was Abram, he was wanting to take Abram into an area of life that he had not yet experienced. And in this case, he was literally wanting to take him to a land that he had not been to. And it's a type of our life of faith. And it was for divine purpose. And Abraham had to leave what he knew. He had to leave what he knew, what he was accustomed to, the life he was used to. He had to leave it by faith, trust God, in order for him to know what God wanted him to know. And I think after John's message, you know, we get in a rut sometimes. He talked about that Sunday. He didn't use those words, but we have to be willing to leave what we think we know and let God take us to another level, because there's not a stopping place with God. You haven't arrived. And we'll see that in this study, the short study of Abraham that we're going to touch on tonight. But once again, we see the obedience of faith. He obeyed and he went out. I think about the message that Willie George did when he was here. And y'all remember that one? What it was about? He was talking about guidance and he was talking about steps. That God is not the kind of God that asks us to leap off a bridge. You know, to take this big giant leap of faith. But he prepares us in steps. And I think that's important that people understand, because I think some people, quite frankly, are scared to submit and commit to God because they're afraid of what he will ask them to do. I've heard people say it. I don't want to go to Africa. Well, if he ever asks you to go to Africa, he will put it in your heart first. And he'll take you in steps towards that. So I think the life of faith, we have to understand, he's a take a step kind of God. And that he was willing to take Abram to a land that he would show him about. So we're going to read that. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, which actually means tents, okay? Temporary dwellings, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Sojourned. That word got my attention. It means to dwell as a temporary resident. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. It took faith to do this. It took faith to take the first step. It took faith to take the second step. It took faith to take every step. It took faith. By faith, he sojourned. He dwelt as a temporary resident, as in a strange country, as in a foreign country. It's not where he was from. It was not where he was from. It was a foreign country. It was a foreign place. It wasn't what he was used to. But it's where he chose to be, and God took him there in steps. Now, there's a great truth of faith in this verse that caught my attention. He sojourned, which means to dwell as a temporary resident. He lived present in each step. He lived present, and he dwelt there, the Greek says, to dwell as a temporary resident. He dwelt there in the present step, knowing it wasn't the permanent step. And I love that, because it's important when, sometimes if we do see the big picture, you know, And we get in a hurry to, if you feel you're called to pastor. You remember when David was anointed king. He wasn't king. He was king, but he wasn't king. And even when he had opportunity to kill Saul, King Saul, and get rid of him and take the throne, he didn't do it. He waited for the steps of God. He dwelt in the temporary land, knowing that wasn't the destination. He went through every step very present. Joseph, the same way, whether it was prison or whether it was in Pharaoh's house, he was very present in each step, but knowing that it was temporary. And I think that's real important in the walk of faith. Otherwise, we jump the gun. In fact, Joseph kind of jumped the gun when he told his brothers the dream. Right? They threw him in a pit. So I think that's a great lesson of faith. The life of faith is it's living, it's moving, it's progressive. So you're not taking a leap to everything he showed you. You're taking steps towards what he shows you. And that'll give us patience for the journey. James 2, we're not going to turn there right now, but James 2 gives a whole discourse on faith without works is dead. I mean, verse after verse, talking about faith without works is dead. And sometimes we have to work in our heads to balance that, because we know that we're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ, that righteousness is a gift, and it's not by works, but yet works follow our righteousness. So you can't get the cart before the horse here. Faith came first, and works follow. But every one of these people that we look at, we're looking at their works of faith. So just because we receive righteousness as a gift doesn't mean that when we're looking at a promise that there's not something that we do. I think back at Sister Wilkins back there, Karen, when she was paralyzed. And when God told you to wiggle your toes. Yeah, she's healed. It's free. Jesus paid for it. Healing was hers, but her work of faith was to work on wiggling her toes. So you see what I'm saying? It's our faith in action. And that's what every single one of these people did, was a faith. Because they believed, they took action. So we'll talk sometime about faith and works and go through James 2. But it's one, I couldn't go there tonight. It would have just swallowed me up in information. I read it and I was like, okay, I'm going to refer to that tonight and leave it in your lap. Abraham knew he had not arrived just because he took a step. He was willing to know it was temporary. And he knew, he didn't think he had arrived just because he took a step. It takes faith to sojourn. Yes, it does. Whether that's the journey of healing, whether that's the journey. And yes, you could receive it immediately, but God may ask you to wiggle your toes. And it's not because God needs something from you, it's because he's working on that head of yours. And what I love about him and Abraham is he was taking Abram and Sarah on the journey of faith. He was willing to walk the journey of faith with them to get out of them what needed to be out of them and into them what needed to be into them. And that's what it is. It's not about earning something from God with your work of faith. It's about working things out of your head and working things into your heart that need to be there in order for you to receive. And we'll see that a lot when we look at Sarah here in a little bit. To dwell, to be fully present in each step, and yet be ready to move. Yeah. Sometimes we want to sit down and quit when we do something. We did it. Okay, that's great. That was called a step. It's not called the destination. So dwell, be fully present in each step, but yet be ready to move. Faith is a process. Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus is the author and the... One version says perfecter. He's the author and the perfecter of my faith. He's in this process with you. He gave you his word that starts it, but he's willing to work with you this process to get you to the promised land. I put in my notes, it's not over at start. It's far from over at start. It's not over at start. Well, I did that. I said the word. I got up. I used my confessions. I said what was on the little confession sheet that you gave me. That's great. That's a great start. But faith is a process. And until we receive the promise, fully receive the promise, then we're in process. And I think it's good for us to know that. I think it gives us patience for along the way. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tents, temporary dwellings, with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So what he was looking for wasn't something earthly. He saw a bigger picture here. And I think this verse inspires a great question. What are you looking for? It's a great faith question. Yes, it is. What are you looking for? I remember Dad talking a lot about looking for a place to land. And he would, in other words, looking for a place to quit. And he would use a bull rider. I've never ridden a bull. I can't really tell you what that's like, but I can only imagine you're looking for a good place of soft soil. Because at one point or another, you have to get off. You can't live up there. So at some point, you're having to get off the bull. I think about my granddaughter Emily at gymnastics on the balance beam. You can't walk the balance beam looking for a place to get down. Yeah, that's true. You will fall because you will go where your attention is. And so I love that he was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was in it for the eternal picture, which is great because a lot of what Abraham was promised, he never saw. And that's you sitting right here in this room right now, the seed of Abraham. I like when I go to bed at night and I look out at the sky, if there's stars, I almost always say it. I won't say I always do. I'm a star in Abraham's sky. You are who God was talking about when he took him out of that tent and said, you are going to have descendants like the stars of this sky. And Bob Yandian brought out something interesting. You know, one time he took him out and showed him the sand. And he said, you're going to have descendants like the sand of the sea. And then he looked, had him look into the heavens and he showed him the stars. And Bob Yandian just threw this out as a thought. What if the sand, the ones that he showed him as the sand of the sea, are his earthly descendants, the nation of Israel, the Jewish race, but his heavenly seed are the Gentiles that are brought into the covenant and heirs of Abraham through Jesus Christ. I like it. I like it. Each step he was given had a yield sign, not a stop sign. He had to yield to it, what God was telling him to do, but it wasn't a stop sign when he did it. Get ready for the next step. That's the way faith works. And there were times with Abraham that he went before he yielded. Ishmael, Abraham was promised a child. For those of you who are new, Abraham and Sarah were promised a child, an heir. They were barren. They were past the point of childbearing and had never had a child, and God promised them one. Well, when time went and they were in these steps of faith, they got to a point where they gave up on God's plan and they came up with their own. And Abraham and Sarah, really Sarah, said, hey, here's my maid, sleep with her, and I'll have children through her. And that's what happened. It caused a whole lot of trouble, and it slowed down the plan of God. And I find it fascinating. It's in Psalm. Because we think, John talked about God being sovereign. Yes, he's sovereign. He's sovereign by his word. But I think it's interesting that we can slow down the plan of God. I may have to call for Janine over there, but they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what I'm looking for. Is that Psalm 78, Mom? Somebody get out your device. Limited the Holy One of Israel should be the words that you're looking for. 7841. Yeah. How often, 40 says, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So there's things in this process of faith that if we don't yield to his way and we go before the green light, we can make plan B. So that's what Abram and Sarah did. They tried to fix things their way, and they didn't wait for the next step of God. They jumped off the bridge and so to speak, and caused a whole lot of issues. But God did not give up on the plan, neither did Abram and Sarah. They jumped right back in there. God worked with them, and I love this because I've thrown a few kinks in the chain of God's plan, and it is what a relief it is to me that he's willing to work with me with that, that he's willing to find a way to still get the promise into our hands. So they slowed down the plan of God, but he never stopped, and they never stopped. And he walked with them through the process. So great lesson from them. Don't quit faith. Absolutely. Don't quit faith. Amen. Something comes out wrong, we did something wrong. That's all I know. That's all I know to tell you. If something came out wrong, we did something wrong. But that doesn't mean God quits on what he promised. So don't quit faith. So many people get mad at the faith process because they didn't receive. They quit. Quit to what is what I always want to say. Quit to what? To letting life run over you? To letting all the curses of this current earth overtake you and rule and reign in your life? If you quit faith, you're going to live under the curse. It's just, faith is our way above. It's our ark. It's our way above the tribulations of this earth. So don't quit faith. Okay, we don't have time to go to Genesis, but let's just run through a few chapters. Genesis 12 is where you will find the beginning, the departing of Abram from his father's house, and he starts on his journey of faith. That's found in Genesis 12, verse 1. Right above that is, I think chapter 11 is his lineage, the genealogy, okay? Genesis 15 is when a physical son, their heir of promise, is promised to them. That's in Genesis 15. Abraham believed. In Genesis 16, we have Abram and Sarai trying to help God out. That's Hagar, the maid, servant, and Ishmael was born. And then Genesis 17, Abram is 99 years old. And God changes the names of Abram and Sarai, which was another big step of faith that they had to yield to, that they had to accept. They had to then call themselves what God was calling them to be. They were letting it out. Their mouths, and that's that power of our words that is so important in the walk of faith that we learn from Abram. Genesis 21 at age 100, Isaac, the promised child, is born. So at 99, he gets them to change their words. He gets them to change the image of themselves to what he says about them. And within a year, we have Isaac born. The promise is in their arms. It's pretty quick, but it's a long ways from Genesis 12. A lot of years. I think Genesis 12, he was 75 when God first started talking to him about it. So that's a lot of years, and it's really easy to quit when there's time involved. If you want to do an additional study on what the New Testament says about Abraham, I'm going to just throw some out there to you. Acts 7 is excellent. And there's so many verses that I didn't put the verses. Just Acts 7, Romans 4, and Galatians 3. Acts 7, Romans 4, Galatians 3. And in James 2, which we talked about earlier, in verse 23, Abraham is called the friend of God. So there we go back to what we saw in all these others. This daily walk, this relationship with God, where he could teach them, where he could communicate with them and help them in the process of faith. So we've seen that in every single person so far, is that relationship with God. All right, let's talk about Abraham. What did y'all get? I know we didn't go back and read Genesis. There's just too many chapters. I mean, this process of faith for Abram was, but you know, most of you know the story, have studied the story. If you have something you want to add, please raise your hand and wait for Tanya or Ken to speedily get to you after Ken gets off the couch. There we go. Anybody get anything out that you hadn't seen before on Abram? I know you've studied him a lot. Don't be shy. I cannot believe this class is silent tonight. Y'all did so good last week. So nothing new. All right. Oh, Bonnie Sue, front row, star student. Give her extra pretzels.
I'm not eating pretzels tonight, but okay. Thank you. Well, I like to take and learn from these different people of faith and to apply it to my life, how to apply it to my life. And I was thinking about Abraham, how that God directed, you know, and I wrote his steps, and I wrote down that he will direct my steps for my future. And it brought to mind Jeremiah, where he says, God says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. And I'm always saying, well, what are they? You know, but it takes faith to sojourn, but it's to be ready to move.
That's good.
When I do get that direction. So I applied that to my own life because I know I've got a future. But he's going to take me where he wants me to go, step by step, just like he did Abraham. And I've got to be patient in that.
Yeah. And listen. Sojourn. That word just stood out to me tonight, sojourn. And I don't know that I've ever given it my attention before. takes faith to sojourn for the journey. Everybody's good? Because you are going to, the study on Sarah is going to take a few minutes. I saw some things I haven't seen before. Ready?
How do you get ready to move?
She said, how do you get ready to move?
Because you made the statement, be ready to move.
We got to have it for the radio. You go away from the microphone, lady. See how she took that? Don't do that.
Well, my thoughts just keep going.
She's a matriarch.
How do you know to be ready to move? Because that was a statement that you made. Be ready to move.
Communication.
And so I think we need to think about that. Now, how do I know when I'm supposed to move?
I think it goes back to that daily walk, don't y'all? That daily walking and talking with God. And I know for some people maybe that's listening on radio, they may go walking and talking with God. I'm telling you, you talk to God just like you're talking to the person in the car with you. And sometimes you listen because that's called good communication. Sometimes we want to do all the talking with God. He has something to say. And you may read it. Somebody may be teaching or you may be in your daily study and you'll see something. It'll light up. Ding, ding, ding. Hey, I need to pay attention to that. That's telling me something. It may come through prayer and just that still small voice in your spirit, a thought of something you need to do. I don't know. I guess, Karen, I go back to your wiggling the toes. That was just a thought. You know, no prophet came in there and told Karen to wiggle her toes. She just was looking down at those toes and thought, these toes have got to wiggle. And she's walking today because she did the work of faith. And if you just sit there and wait for the Spirit to pick you up and stand you on your feet, well, then you may just be laying there because that is not how faith works. So she took the word, she took instruction, she obeyed. That's exactly what Abram did. Larry?
You brought up James 2 a while ago. Verse 14 talks about faith. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And at the bottom of that, I've got notes, and I'm sure this is from Tom's teaching. Faith is acting like God's word is true.
Yep, that's it. Yes, you did get that from him. We confer. James 2:14, and that's probably my favorite passage out of all of that because it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? Because we're looking for faith to save us. Right, from whatever situation. But can it save you if your faith does not have works? That's the question. No, is the answer. When God instructs us, I've had people that God told them to take a certain vitamin or a certain supplement, and it, oh my goodness, I'm thinking it was a guy that used to work for us that this happened to. God love him. I can't remember which one it was, if it was Tim or Justin. They were both a hoot. That was having headaches, continually having horrible headaches every Sunday. Was it Justin? God love him. Don't you just love him? Every Sunday he would have a headache. You know, and he thought it was an attack of the enemy, Jeff, you know, coming against the word every Sunday. Until one day it came to his mind, which was the Holy Spirit, to loosen his tie.
Right.
It was either loosen his tie or unbutton the top button. He was cutting his circulation off. Now, he could have just kept having headaches. But you know what I love about that example? God cares about that, Nathan. I mean, you know, he cares about that. And he was trying to tell him, you know, you can sit there and pray and quote your, do your confessions. Jeff, don't let him know I told his story. You can sit there and quote the word and read your confessions, but when it comes to your mind to loosen your tie, loosen your tie. And you know, God is trying to get you to what he promised, and that's the good, that's the Zoe life. So that's so simple, but what a great example of the process of faith. So thank you, Justin, for that. that example. Anybody else? Dwayne?
You were talking about the word sojourn, which means be ready to go. In my mind, that means you can't really be anchored in something, in a thought process or a belief, because you might get something that's contrary to that, but you're so anchored in that, you won't move from that thought the process. So
yeah, he takes us from glory to glory. He's growing us consistently. Yeah.
So you
in
just
word.
Can't
that's
be
good.
Anchored. Like if you're talking about where you're going to live or how you're going to get well or how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that. Well, if you've already got an established process, you're not going to hear that.
It's good. It's really good. He called them a stiff-necked people sometimes for that, didn't he? Cassandra?
I just like the part where his grace, you know, even when he messed up. Because I know every time, like, I feel like I missed it. You know, if I totally delayed, if I totally messed everything off track. But that, you know, his grace is there to get us back on track. And
that's
just an excellent reminder to, remind yourself that he's patient, and his grace is more than enough for us.
So that's right. His mercy is new every morning. Yes. John taught Sunday morning. That's good, Cassandra. That part means a lot to me, too. We must have traveled the same road at some point. I think probably everybody in the room probably needs to say amen on that one. We good? Thank y'all. See, y'all had such good things. Let's go to verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself. Oh, circle that word, herself. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh, there's so much in here. I can't wait. Let me get my book where I can move. I'm getting antsy. I'm going to go all John on y'all up here. Strength was offered to her to conceive. She eventually took it and received it. At first, she laughed. She laughed. When she heard the promise, It was so foreign to her. It was such a foreign land to her. Motherhood was such a foreign concept to her that she laughed. She laughed at what God said or what the servant said. Now, I was preaching this to John before service. I've got some homework for y'all because this is interesting. I want you to study Genesis 17:17. Let's turn there. We've got weeks, right? I don't know why I get in a hurry. I'm not weeks all in one session. We'll come back next week, but we can stay on this subject for a while. Genesis 17:17 is going to be one of the passages that I want you to concentrate on this week in your study. I'll start in verse 16. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, speaking of Sarah. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. This was important because of Hagar, right? Hagar had happened. Yeah. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. What I want you to study is the difference between Abraham's laugh and Sarah's laugh. Because Sarah was reprimanded for her laugh, but Abraham laughed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write out this verse and then write out the next verse we're going to cover and compare them. But Abraham fell upon his face, which almost to me is like a reverence. It's like, to me, the way I see this is he's like, oh my God, we're fixing to be parents. You know, that kind of laugh. When Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, okay, said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Okay, now go over to Genesis 18. starting verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now please remember, yes, Sarah had gone through the change, through menopause, but she couldn't have children when she wasn't. She was barren when she was young. So she's double barren. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, okay, what did it say about Abraham? He said in his heart, he had to deal with the thoughts. But Sarah laughed within herself and said, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nope, you did laugh. So my question to John was, Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed. What was the difference in the laugh? He said in his heart, he fell on his face. She laughed in her heart and said, she spoke out. I don't know. That's my thoughts. I wasn't going to cover that tonight. I was just going to throw it out to you. But isn't that interesting? Abraham actually received power to deliver seed to produce a child before Sarah received power to conceive. That's how Ishmael was born. Because I've often had that thought in my head. No, Abraham received before Sarah received. God had to deal with some other things with Sarah to get her to the point where she could receive the power to conceive. Abraham received it first, and that's how he was able to produce a child with Hagar and produce Ishmael. So, you know, I think this is important for us as married couples, not that we're trying to have children, but in things that we're believing for together, one person may progress in faith faster than the other. And sometimes that can be a hindrance in production, but keep on being patient with one another and letting God take your partner through the process of faith. Stick together. Don't get crossways with each other. Keep strife out. And God will keep working with the other person. Let's see. Sarah needed some heart adjusting before she could receive strength to conceive. Now, this word strength is interesting. It literally is dunamis. It's dunamis. We've talked about dunamis before on Wednesday nights. It's miraculous power. This wasn't natural for her to be able to conceive. You can think back to Mary here, right? Be it unto me according to your word. Her seed was the word of God, just like your promise from God is your seed. And he gave her the power, dunamis, miraculous power, to give her strength to conceive what he promised. I don't know, I'm going to have to think on that one. I'm going to have to meditate on that one. All right, Sarah. She was originally known as Sarai. And this is fascinating to me. I've never seen this before, and I checked it out because I heard Bob Yendian say it. He said the root word, you know how in the Strong's, it'll give you the number, Dylan, of the word, and then it'll give you the origin of that word. It'll give you that number. The origin of the word Sarai means to dominate, commanding, and controlling. And I got to thinking about that. Sarah had a submission problem. To God, to anybody. She is the one who initiated. She's the one that said, hey, Abram, here's my maidservant, Hagar. Why don't you go have sex with her and we'll just have a child? Sarah did that. Controlling, dominating, commanding. Can you see it? So when God changed her name, when he changed Abram, he changed his name to Abraham, which father of a multitude or father of nations. But Sarah, this strong woman, probably bitter, because if you couldn't have kids back then, you were almost considered accursed. And so there was probably this line of bitterness in her because she couldn't have a child, and then God promised her this, and then it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. So she takes control of it. Here you go, Abraham, here's Hagar. When God changes Sarai's name, he changes it to Sarah, which means princess, which is beautiful to me because it's still a word of authority, but it's not an ugly authority. It's not dominating, commanding, controlling. It's nobility. So to me, it showed a heart change when she accepted her name. It showed a heart change in her. And that just really opened up to me because I don't know if y'all noticed this or not, but I have a strong personality type. And it was given to me by God. But it has to be used correctly. And that's what I've spent 54 years trying to do, is let God change my heart to where it's not a controlling, commanding, manipulative, but princess, nobility, authority used correctly. And so this story really spoke to me. So if there happened to be any other women in the room or men in the room that have had issues with controlling, learn a lesson from Sarai and Sarah. And I believe it'll help us in our life of faith. God had to help her, and I love this. He had to help her open up her heart to trust him, to trust God, before she could open up her womb to receive the seed. The heart and the physical are connected. And so she did. It was an adventure. They had to work through some things, but she did. And by faith, Sarah herself. That's why I said circle that word. Because Abraham had. He had received power to produce seed. But there came a time by faith that Sarah herself took what was offered. That's what that word received means, to take what is offered, to get a hold of it. He offered her the strength to conceive, and she herself, by her faith, took a hold of that, and it produced dunamis, miraculous power to conceive the seed. That's faith. And was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. I love that. And I think there's a lot of lessons in this too about using your faith for someone else. Putting your faith on somebody else. I think when we're praying for other people, it's more about taking authority over the spiritual things. The blinders on their eyes and that sort of thing. People have to come to a place where they believe for themselves. And I think that lesson is taught beautifully here. She had to get out of the way. Sarah had to get out of the way. She was hindering. She was the one that was hindering. It wasn't God holding anything back. Her attitude was hindering the process of faith. And she finally understood the blessing of submission. And I love something John said one time. Submission is not force. Submission is a choice. And she chose to submit to the plan of God. She chose to submit to Abraham and to receive seed and to trust the plan of God. And my mind went to 1 Peter chapter 3 on this submission because whether you're a man or a woman, we often think about the woman being submissive. But the scripture tells us that we have to submit to one another and we have to submit to God. And so it doesn't matter which gender you are in here tonight, if you're going to receive the seed, there's a submission involved. And I put down Sarah's work of faith was submission. That was her action of faith, was to trust and to submit to someone other than her own control. And that's a big one when you're a fixer. How many fixers do we have in the room? Like, it's your, raise them high. Submit. Okay, Frank, get your hand up. I'll call you out. If you're a fixer, like if there's an issue, you're going to fix it. And you are going to fix it. That's me. We can fix this. This is how we're going to fix this. Okay, well, submission's a great lesson for us as an act of our faith to be able to say, God, what's my step? What's my step? And to trust someone other than ourselves in this picture. But my mind went to 1 Peter chapter 3 because Sarah is listed there where it's talking about wives being submission to your own husbands. Here we've talked about Sarah being, you know, controlling and trying to fix things herself, fix things her way, take control of this thing instead of doing it God's way. And it says down in, let's just read it. There's so many thoughts that went through my head about her. Likewise, you wives, be in submission to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the lifestyle or conversation of the wife. Well, Sarah's first words were doubt. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that's what God was dealing with her, which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. After this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. This was their beauty. They adorned themselves being in submission unto their own husbands. We know that Sarah was beautiful. How do we know Sarah was beautiful? Because when they went through one of the lands, they wanted her. Remember? Abraham lied, said, this is my sister. We kind of half lied and said, this is my sister. They desired her. She was so beautiful that the ruler of the land wanted her. But she was missing this kind of beauty. But she gained it when she gained submission to God. It says, after this manner, the holy women, trusting God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, we laugh at that, you know, because we can't quite imagine calling our husband Lord, Lord. But it's an attitude of heart that's taught in Scripture. And so Sarah got there. That's what I want to express to you. She got there to such a point that she is listed as the example. Sarah. Now Sarah is the talked about example in submission. We can change. We can change our heart. We can change our attitude. So even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And I thought about this control that Sarah had and even the control that I've dealt with in my life. It's fear. It's fear. Taking control of it ourselves instead of using faith and the promises of God is fear. And submission is a releasing of that fear and an enacting of trust. God, you said in your word that if I would train up my children in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. Father, you said in your word that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And though thoughts of fear are trying to attack my mind, I submit my body to you. It has been bought with a price. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You paid for my health through the stripes of Jesus, and I put my trust in that. Father, I know there's not money in the bank to pay the bills next month, but you said in your word that if I would submit to your word and I would be a giver, that I would be a receiver. That's faith. That's submission. So, you know, work on what that word submission means and submit to the seed that he's trying to give you and take hold of it and let dunamis, miraculous power, give you strength to conceive. Give you strength to accept what he says. She judged him faithful. She got to a place that she judged him faithful. And she submitted to the promise and accepted dunamis power. Verse 12, therefore, because of what had happened in the hearts of Abram and Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable, because they chose to believe. They went through the process of faith, and it produced. Not only did it produce the nation of Israel and the Jewish race, it also called us in, the Gentiles, called us in to be Abraham's seed and heirs. Heirs of Abraham. Heirs of the blessing. So I thank God they worked through the process of faith. Here we are because of it. We got about 5 minutes. Let me turn over to Hebrews 11. We'll get another verse or two in. Got to remember, Ken took part of the time up. We didn't start at 6. Let's see, where did we get to? Verse 12? Verse 13. This is interesting. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Yes, Abraham and Sarah got to see Isaac. They got to see some of their seed, but they never saw us. Yet we were part of their promise. Noah didn't get to see us, yet we're part of his promise. Every time I see a rainbow, that was Noah's promise. And it's good for me. So these people of faith are important because Abel's blood still speaks, right? We read that. It's still testifying. So all of these acts of faith are important to me because they matter to me. They have to do with my faith and with my life. So all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. Do you love that word? They were so persuaded of the promise that they acted, that they did what they were asked to do. And they embraced them. I love that one because that made me think of dwelling in that step, being present. They embraced these steps of God. They were persuaded of them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They were part of a process. This wasn't their destination, but they were part of the process of faith and part of such a bigger picture. And they realized that. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, you ready for this? They might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had stayed mindful of what they came out of, they would have had opportunity to have returned to it. But they didn't. Their mind was on the bigger picture. Their mind was on something eternal. That's a very powerful couple of verses right there. Yes, it But now they desire a better country. I'm going to call it kingdom. That is and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God said, I'm their God. I'm Abel's God. I'm Noah's God. I'm Enoch's God. I'm Sarah's God. He was not ashamed to say, I'm their God. Oh, I hope he looks down here and says, I'm Susan's God. We're on the process of faith. We're sojourning. Isn't that good? All right, anybody got anything? We got the roving mics. I know that was a lot. And I know you didn't know about Sarah. Because I don't think. I've never heard it. I looked it up. I double-checked him. It's the truth. That is the origin of her name. And it helped me in my walk of faith. I'm going to have to meditate on it. Anybody get anything? It's just 8. You're going to get home in time to go to sleep. Oh, Bonnie is not afraid to get us started. Hey, a teacher will teach. It doesn't matter who else is teaching. Well, they're teaching in their heads.
That verse 15, where you made this statement, their mind was on a bigger picture, but it changed their desires.
That's good.
And if we'll keep our mind on the bigger picture, we won't want to go back.
Yeah.
Our desires will change. But I was going to share, too, You made the statement that Sarah needed a heart adjustment, and it made me think back to Tom, because he wanted to travel and teach. He can go into churches. And one night when we were laying in bed, he was sound asleep, and something woke me up, and there was a light. I think I've told you kids this before, but there was a big light that came through the patio doors into our bedroom, big beam, and it went up and down his body. It just shined, and I mean, I laid there, you know, I thought, what's going on? And then when he woke up, I didn't say anything, but when he woke up the next morning, he said, I love people. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that love for people to pastor.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. So that was the step that God used.
And he had to submit to that.
He had to submit to that. But when he woke up, the very first words out of his mouth was, I love people.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Heart change. Jeremiah in the back.
So how you mentioned Sarah being a fixer. I noticed how it's kind of like, that's a talent, like singing or doing anything. Any talents can be misused. You see it misused in the world. It's the same as that. And
that's good.
When it's dedicated towards God, it just becomes, you know, useful, a tool.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah, it just has to be guided by God and not what it becomes without him. Very good point. Anybody else? We've got a lot to think about tonight. Did y'all get any thoughts on Abraham and Sarah's laugh? Anybody have any thoughts other than the thoughts I had? Greta.
On Abraham's laugh, he thought in his heart. He did not speak it. But Sarah, she spoke out instead of
doubt.
You know, she had that doubt. That's what goes in my head about that.
Yeah, that's true.
And learning about before he changed Sarai's name, how she was dominant and stuff. I wouldn't have really realized that till you just brought that out tonight.
I had not either. And when I heard it, I started looking, and I was like, yeah, I can see that.
So I see that's that Sarah had to have a heart change, too, because Abraham had already had in his heart to produce the seed, but then Lord had to work on Sarah, too. Yeah.
That's good. Very good. I think that's a good marriage lesson as well.
The verse you just spoke about you know, where they'll follow where your heart goes. And another part of the scripture talk about putting blinders on, like, the horse's eyes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to really work on that. You know, people's words and put a guard on our heart. And yeah. Sarah had to think about herself, you know, her body, and she had to get past that to where it didn't draw her back to that same spot.
To her barren life.
And so that's just it's a reminder that those, yeah. you know, like a horse.
Yeah, that's good. Stay focused. That's good. Anybody else? All right, I'm going to pray over you real quick. Going once. Usually somebody always raises their hand about going twice. All right, y'all can stand up. Y'all are probably ready to stretch. I get to walk around and y'all are pinned in. I'll tell you what, if we can't sit on our rears for 45 minutes, we're in trouble. We got to be that disciplined, don't we? Once you get to studying, though, man, it's hard to find a place to stop. Father, we thank you for the power, the dunamis power that you've put in your word to produce in our lives. I just ask that you take the message of Abraham and Sarah and apply it to whom it belongs and where it belongs. I know for me this was an eye-opener and encourages me to work on heart issues that might be a hindrance, not only to my faith, but to Rusty's faith, that we love each other enough as families to submit to your word and to work on any heart issues that we might have. So, Father, I thank you that you're at work. The Holy Spirit's the teacher, takes this, breaks it, and feeds us from it. And we are willing and obedient. Therefore, we'll eat the good of the land. Amen. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.